Thanks, Martin, and good morning, everyone. It's nice to see you all here. I suppose one thing is certain in life, and that is that life is uncertain. We're never quite sure, are we, what's round the corner, what's going to happen next. And we can think of lots of examples of that. Take people who live in third world countries, for example, and think about those children living on the streets of India, never quite sure where their next meal is going to come from, having to rummage around in the garbage to find it. Never sure where they're going to sleep next. Or think about those people who are caught up in natural disasters. And once again, we're thinking about that in the news at this time, aren't we, as the hurricanes sweep over the West Indies and people are forced from their houses. And perhaps we'll go back to find that their house no longer exists. And what are they going to do? Life is uncertain for them too. Or think about the political world globally. You know, if you're living in the United States, I would say that life's tremendously uncertain from a political point of view with Mr. Trump at the helm, and we're never quite sure what he's going to do or what he's going to say next. Or think about this country, you know, but boy is it uncertain now with Brexit looming. We're not sure how that's going to end up, are we? I work in a business where over the last year we've done so much planning for Brexit, and every time we come to the same conclusion that there's really not a lot we can do because we're not quite sure just how things are going to end up. And then it seems sure that after Brexit there's going to be a general election, and who will be in power? Will it be Boris, or Bojo as my children call him, or will it be Mr. Corbyn or any of the other leaders? Are any of them really better than the next, and what are going to be the implications if they get into government? You know, so it's very uncertain, isn't it, from a political point of view. Or take the global refugee crisis, people having to flee from the countries in which they live because of the persecution that they face from their governments, and they have to flee to other countries, and they're not sure where they're going to live, how they're going to live, whether they're going to be allowed to stay. And perhaps that's something that you have first-hand experience of, or perhaps you know somebody who has experienced that in their lives. And then, of course, you know, we've thought globally, but think about personal uncertainty. We're never quite sure what's going to happen with our health. It's not a given, is it? It's not guaranteed. Or the health of our loved ones, or of our friends. We're never quite sure what the financial situation's going to be in life, whether we'll have a job next year, whether it will last. I'm really fortunate because I've worked for the same company for 26 years, but I can tell you that in that I'm quite unique. And we have people coming for interviews for positions in our business, and one of the common themes is that people seem to move around every couple of years usually from one job to the next, and very often that's due to redundancy and the fact that positions are closed. So we're never quite sure what's going to happen from a financial security and an employment point of view. Or if you're in education at this time, whether it's your GCSEs or your A-levels, or whether you're thinking about going on from A-levels to either an apprenticeship maybe, or going to university to study further. Now, just how is that going to work out? Are you going to get the grades to be able to do it? Where are you going to end up? And at the end of all of that, will there be a job, a position for you to go to? So I suppose the message that I'm spelling out to you is it doesn't matter who you are, where you're living in the world, or what your circumstances are. Life is uncertain, and it's regularly uncertain. We're really sure, not sure, are we, at the end of the day, what's going to happen next? Well, we're going to think about this idea by looking at the Bible together. And we're going to think about what the Bible has to say to people who faced uncertainty in their lives. And we're going to see actually that in the Bible there is a wonderful message of the fact that we can find certainty in an uncertain world through the Lord God and through His Word, and that which He has done for us in the Lord Jesus Christ, and the hope that He has given us for the future. And we're going to do this in a particular way by thinking about the letter that we've just read from, the first letter of Peter. And we're going to have a look at the first chapter, and we're going to stay there. So we're not going to turn anywhere else. And we're going to think about this letter and and its message to us. And it was written to a group of people, to a group of Christians, it's thought, in the mid-60s AD, and they faced tremendous uncertainty in their lives because they lived during the reign of the Roman Emperor Nero, and he was an awful man, a sort of despicable dictator who persecuted the Christians. Nero was the one who coined that phrase, the Christians to the lions, as he fed them to the lions in the amphitheatres. Nero was the one who set fire to the Christians as torches at his garden parties. Now, Nero was the man who hunted down the Christians and had them put to death. Nero was the man who basically drove a holocaust against the Christians during his reign. One historian, Tacitus, wrote this about Nero. He said, Nero punished with every refinement of cruelty the men whom the common people hated for their secret crimes, as they called them. They weren't crimes at all, but the common people hated them for those secret crimes, those people whom they called Christians. So Nero was going to persecute them with every refinement of cruelty that he could think of. And that was the day and that was the age in which these Christians were living and the uncertainty that they faced. If you come with me in 1 Peter, we'll just have a quick look at chapters 4 and 5 to get a flavour of this. I think this is what Peter's referring to when he says in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12, Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. That's how he's describing what they're going through. It's like a trial of fire. Maybe he's referring to that awful way in which Nero set fire to them at his parties. And he's saying, you know, this is what you're experiencing. And time and time again, he will use the word suffering in this first letter to describe their experiences. Or come to 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, and I wonder if he's talking about Nero, your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, Christians to the lions, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. And that's what Nero did, searching here and there for them in order that he might have them put to death. So the future held great uncertainty for these people living at this time. Question for you. Don't have to answer it. Just think about it. Why did Peter write this letter to these people at this time? Why was it Peter? I'm going to show you why I'm asking that question. You just come back to 1 Peter chapter 1 and the very first verse. And we read there, Peter introduces himself, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace be multiplied. So this is how he opens his letter, and he says, notice who it is that he's writing to. And the second group of people are those who are in Galatia. Now we know about Galatia, we know about the Galatians, because there's another letter written to the Galatians in the Bible. And who was that written by? That was written by the Apostle Paul. So my question then is quite valid if you think about it. Why is Peter writing a letter to the Galatians when it was Paul, really, who had been their apostle, who has visited there and subsequently followed up his visit with a letter? Why isn't it Paul writing this letter and not Peter? We could have a look at some internal evidence in this letter and elsewhere which would suggest that it was at this time that Paul lost his life, that Paul was martyred, that the events there in 2 Timothy 4 were coming to pass. And Paul then had vanished from the scene. He couldn't write this letter, obviously. And so what Peter's going to do now, seeing these people, these brothers and sisters in Christ, and the sufferings and the difficulties that they are facing, is going to step into the breach that's been left by Paul's death. And he is going to write this letter of comfort to them, to say to them, yes, life is uncertain, but you can find great certainty with God. And that's his message, that God is a constant in your life, that he never changes, that he is always there. He won't let you down. His word is certain, and he makes promises in his word. And when God promises something, it always comes to pass. He never breaks his promises. He never lets us down on his promises. He will always do as he has said. And that's Peter's wonderful message for them and for us living in this world of uncertainty. So we're going to have a look at this first chapter together. And we're going to have a look at four examples of how Peter underlines this message that in God there is certainty in an uncertain world. And we're going to do it in a rather odd way. We're going to work in reverse. So we're going to start at the end of the chapter and we're going to work our way backwards. So come to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23. And here's the first thing that Peter has to say about finding certainty in God in an uncertain world. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 23, he talks about us being born again. That's starting a new life in Christ. Not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Now, if something's corruptible, it means that it dies, it decays, it fades away. But here he is saying that the word of God, the Bible, so this is the first thing, the first certain thing, the Bible is not like that. It doesn't decay, it doesn't rot, it doesn't grow old. Okay, it lasts forever, it lives and it abides forever. For he goes on to say, all flesh is as grass. And we know that, don't we? We grow old, we wither, we fade. And the glory of man is as the flower of grass. The grass withereth and the flower thereof falleth away. We don't last forever, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. So he's saying that the word of God will always be there. It will always be a foundation, a backstop, a surety in your life. You can depend on it. Men will let you down. They'll eventually fade and wither. You can't trust in mankind, but you can trust in the word of God. And there's two ways in which that's true, you know. The first is that the word of God was recorded thousands of years ago, and yet we still have it today. And people over the ages have tried to extinguish the word of God, to get rid of it. And instead, what's happened is that it's become the world's number one bestseller. Because why? It's the word of God, and the word of God abides forever. It cannot be destroyed. The Lord God will not allow that to happen. He has preserved his word throughout the ages so that we can read it and listen to it now. And think about what a privilege that is, that the Lord God who created the heavens and the earth has chosen to speak individually, personally to each one of us. And he's preserved his word throughout the ages so that by looking at it and reading it, we can listen to the word of God himself. What a wonderful thing that is. So that's the first way in which the word of God abides forever and is certain, that it's been preserved throughout all of that time. But the other thing that's certain about the word of God is that we can always find help there. You know, whatever it is that we're going through in our lives, whatever experience we're facing, we can always open the word of God and find somebody who was facing a similar situation in their lives. You know, we never open it and think, there's nothing to help me with this one. There is always, always an example there in Scripture to help us through the difficulties that we face in life. So the Word of God is certain. It abides forever, not just in its existence, but in its message. Its message is always relevant, always able to help us. It never grows old. It never becomes unmodern or goes out of fashion. It's always directly applicable to that situation that we find ourselves at this time or that time in our lives. So that's the first thing that Peter has to say. Number one point about certainty in an uncertain world. We find certainty in the Word of God. The next one is working our way back then, is there in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18. He says, therefore, as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things. You notice how this is becoming a theme now. He's talking about that which is corruptible versus that which is incorruptible, that which perishes, which withers and fades away, versus that which doesn't, that which lasts forever. And he's going to use this theme four times in this chapter. He says then, you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. Ultimately, silver and gold aren't going to save you. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. So he's talking there about the certainty of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the ability of that, if you like, through faith, for us to be saved. Jesus' sacrifice is effective for our salvation. And so he's saying, you know, silver and gold, that'll corrupt, that'll fade. It becomes tarnished, doesn't it, metal? You know, even precious metals over a time. They lose their luster, they lose their shine. But he's saying, in contrast, the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus is not like that. There's this terrible problem, you see, that mankind suffers from. The problem of sin and death. Because we sin, we die, and that has been the same for every man and woman since the beginning, since Adam. You know, that's where we end up at the end of it all, in the grave. And what certainty is there for us after that? Well, we'll think about that in a moment. But he's saying here that the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ was made so that we could be redeemed, so that we could be saved from that cycle of sin and death. You see, through the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, if we believe in it and have faith and show that faith, then we are forgiven our sins. And we're made at one with God again. We're reconciled to him. And we have hope for the future, as we're going to see in a moment. And it's lovely there. If you just look at verse 20, it says that all of that, the death of Jesus, the precious blood of Christ, which was shed as a lamb without blemish and without spot, that's describing Jesus, isn't it? It was shed and it was verily foreordained before the foundation of the world. Isn't that lovely? That's the certainty of the sacrifice of Jesus, that the Lord God decided, he understood, he foreordained before the foundation of the world that he was going to send his son to save mankind. It was in God's mind all the way back then. Yeah, and he sent his son and Jesus gave his life. And all of that's been fulfilled that was in God's mind, so that we can be saved from sin and death. So there are the first two, the certainty of the Bible and the certainty of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, that is able to save us from sin and death, that thing which we're unable to save ourselves from. Well, let's work back a little bit more. Come back to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7 now. And he talks about the trial of your faith. And this is talking about the difficulties that we face in life. But he says that those difficulties, that trial of faith, is much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honour and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Let's just sort of boil that down and unpack that. So once again, we've got this idea of precious metals which ultimately fade, which lose their luster and their shine. He says, gold perishes, but the trying of your faith, in contrast, doesn't. Okay? That is something which is worthwhile, which lasts. Why? Because as you smelt a metal and you know, boil it down effectively and turn it into a molten metal, from that you're able to separate out all of the impurities, so that when it solidifies again, what you're left with is something purer. And so he's talking about the experiences that we go through in life. You know, if we understand that God is there and that he is working in our lives for good and giving us those experiences so that he might make us better people, so that he might make us, you know, purified people as gold when it comes out of that process. If we understand that, what a great comfort that is for us. You know, gold perishes, gold loses its lustre, it loses its shine, it fades. But that trying of your faith, that process that God is in control, that's worth everything. And that's certain, because we know that behind all of those experiences, all of those difficulties, all of the troubles that we face, we have a God who is working in our lives. Let me just give you an example of this, okay? My granddad used to say, if we pray to God and we ask for patience, okay, so that's something I need to do. If we pray to God and we ask for patience, God doesn't just make us patient. He doesn't go like that and make us patient. What he does is he gives us this trial, and he gives us experiences through which we learn patience in our lives. And that's exactly what Peter's talking about here, and saying how precious that is, and how comforting it is to know that we have that certainty of a God who is our Father, who's working in our lives to develop us and to shape us and ultimately to mould us into better people, people more like the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. And now, I think that's a wonderful thing. Perhaps, you know, of these four things that we're looking at, this is the one that really appeals to me. Because we know when something difficult is happening, we know it's for a reason. We know that God's there working in our lives. Just imagine if we didn't have that, and we weren't able to say that God is there. We'd be scratching our heads and asking ourselves in desperation that question, why is that happening to me? Why me? And why am I having to suffer in that way? But knowing that the Lord God is there is such a comfort, isn't it? Let's have a look at the final example. It's in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. But before we go there, let's just scan to the end of verse 7 and look at how it ends, when he talks about praise and honour and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. And he's talking about the return of the Lord Jesus Christ to the earth. And this is the fourth certainty in an uncertain world. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 3 then. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. He's given us hope to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled. There he is again, using this metaphor of things which fade and things which don't fade. And he's saying here that there is an inheritance which is incorruptible and undefiled, and it doesn't fade away. And it's reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. It's talking about the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ when he comes back to the earth to establish God's kingdom on earth. And he said that if we are born again, as he's spoken of, and we choose to follow the Lord God and the example of the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives, if we take on the saving name of Jesus, realizing that he died to save us from our sins, if we do those things, then we have an inheritance, a place in that kingdom given to us by God's grace. And it's an inheritance, it's a promise of a place in that kingdom, which, let's read it again. It's incorruptible, it's undefiled, it doesn't fade away, it never grows old, doesn't that inheritance, that promise. It is reserved in heaven for you. God's reserved it for you and said, that's yours if you want it. That's the certainty of it. Who are kept, God's going to keep us and bring us to his kingdom if we have faith in him. Who are kept by the power of God, how? Through faith. Unto salvation, ready to be revealed. God is ready to send his son, ready to reveal him when he comes again in the last time. And that's the final certainty, a certainty which is filled with hope, isn't it, of a time when the kingdom of God will be here on earth, and when all of those uncertainties in life will be taken away. The uncertainty of ill health, of what's going to happen next, of security, the unhappinesses that uncertainty brings, all of that's going to be taken away when the Lord Jesus Christ will return and the kingdom will be here. And those who have been faithful and are rewarded with a place in that kingdom will be granted everlasting life. They're able to worship the Lord God in fellowship forevermore. So life can be certain, just to finish with, we know that. It can be uncertain in so many different ways, can't it? But Peter writes to these people who experienced that firsthand, and he's writing to us as well in a way and saying, think about the certainties in this uncertain world. The certainty of God's word that we can always rely on. It will always be there and it will always be able to give us a message of comfort and support in our lives, whatever it is we're going through. Think about the sacrifice of Jesus. That's a certainty, that it's able to save us from the cycle of sin and death. Think about the way that God works in your life, that he's present there, and all of the experiences that you go through are for a reason, because he's seeking to make you a better person by those trials that he sent. Think about the certainty of God in your life, and think about the certainty of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ and of a place in the kingdom if we are faithful to him. Wonderful certainties, aren't they, in this uncertain world? And that's the wonderful message that Peter gives us there. And that's the message that I will leave with you to encourage you in the week ahead and in your lives ahead as you face the difficulties that we all face. And it gives us, doesn't it, something to look forward to in the end, and fills those uncertain lives with this great certainty in the Lord God. Thank you for listening.